Here, boys, today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Beis, and we're holding three lines from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Aleph. And the Gemara tells us, Ula Haviyoiv Matanta Lekahanta. It rhymes very nicely. Ula would give his matonois to a koihenes. In other words, he was not makbid to give the matonis of Zeruiah L'chayayim B'hakeva to a male kohen.
Wow, it's very progressive.
Can you imagine? That's right. And he gave it to a kohenis. Zog the Gemara, how can you go and give it to kohenis? Doesn't it say in the Pasuk, V'nosen la'koyin es Zeruiah V'slechayayim B'hakeva? You have to give it to a kohen. So he held that a kohen, by definition, also includes a kohenis. Really? Eisvei Rav Ula, so Rav asked Ula, what's the halacha legabe a korban mincha? We all know it says by a korban mincha that kol minchas koyin kol tia loy se ochel. Anybody in Klal Yisrael that goes and brings a korban mincha, no problem. You go and put the kmitza on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is shirayim and nechal the balim. If a koyin brings his own korban mincha, we're not talking about he's doing the avodah for other people. He brings his own. You don't eat it. The entire minchas koyin is burned on the maracha, on the mizbeach. Okay, so based on what Ula just said now, I would think the same thing should apply to a kohenes, that she should also do the same. Yet, it says in the braisa, freit rova to Ula, minchas kohenes ne'echeles, minchas koyin eina ne'echeles. Minchas Kehen is Nechalis, in other words, like anybody else in Klal Yisrael. When any Yisrael, any Levi, goes and brings a regular Koyin Mincha, Kmitza on the Mizbeach, and the rest is Nechal. It says the same thing applies to Minchas Kehen, it's Nechalis. But Minchas Koyin, of course, we know ain't a Nechalis, and therefore, like the Pasuk says, we'll quote it again on the next line, the Amris Koyin Vafilu Kehenis, if you tell me that when the Torah uses the term Koyin, it's Lav Davka, it includes Kehenis as well. I should go and say that if for purposes of matonois, when it says v'nosan la koyin eses roi v'chem v'akeva, it includes a kohenes. So why don't we say the same thing? It should include a kohenes. Good gefreit. Omalei. So now Ula responds to Rav and he says, Rebbe, meitunach. Meitunach is an interesting expression. Rashi says meitunach at the top line. He got ticha. I have an answer for you from the same mokor that you are bringing. I will answer your question. And then the Rashi elsewhere, and if you have the Likutei Rashi on the bottom, my Gemara is on the bottom right-hand side, but the others on the left-hand side, quotes a Rashi from Zvachim, where the word metunach is from the word a load or a burden that you carry. Metunach mimasa acha, from the masa that you're carrying. Shebasa aleinu lahashiveinu. You're bringing me this pasuk to ask me a kasha. Ani meishivcha tshuva, from your very same pekala, I'm going to go and give you an answer. What's the answer that he's giving from the same pekala? Because in Parshas Tzav, the very beginning of Parshas Tzav, when it tells us this din of the Minchas Koyin, it doesn't start off that way. The Parsha in Parshas Tzav begins, Vaydabra Shema Moshe Leimar, Zoyiz Teres HaMincha, and he says, Zer Korban Aaron Uvanov Ashiyakivu Lashem. It says, Aaron Uvanov. And then three psukim later, it says that the halacha is that you have the Chol Minchas Koyin Kol Tia Loi Seyochel. So since at the beginning of that parsha, we say, Zer Korban Aaron Uvanov, it's coming to tell us, says the top line on the Amid, Aaron Uvanov Kesuvim Parsha. Now, why does it say that? It doesn't say that normally throughout the Torah, whenever we give a mitzvah for the Kahanim, just says Aaron, was Aaron Uvanov, to tell you that here it's Banov, V'loi Binoy Sof, that this din of bringing when a Koyin brings his own Korban Mincha, it's called Asiya Loi Siachel, it's only Aaron Uvanov, only the men folk and not the lady folk. Masha Enkin over here, when it says that when you're supposed to give to the Koyin, Nesat LaKoyin, this is Roya, there it doesn't say the Aaron Uvanov introduction, just says Koyin. So Koyin means a filu Koyhenes according to Ula. So therefore the expression of Meitunach Mi Maso Echa means from the very psukim that you're trying to go and prove to me that there's a distinction between Koyin and Koyhenes. I'll tell you why. Because the introduction to that pasuk, Mechum Mechum Koyin, two or three or four psukim earlier, use the expression, or the Torah says, Zekon Aruvanov, to tell you Taka Bonim Vele Bonois, but normally, Kohen includes a Kohenis. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, this is not so simple. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana Kohen Veloi Kohenis. That in fact, Davka Kohen and not a Kohenis. Meaning, both for the din of the Korban, Legabi the Korban Mincha, as well as by Unz, when we're talking about the Matonish, Tzroi Lachem Akev, it's only Kohen and not a Kohenis. How do I know? V'yilmoid Sosim and Amafurish. We're going to go and learn the Sosim, meaning by Unz, by the Tzroi Lachem Akev, where things are kind of mysterious. It only says Nosan LaKoyin. It doesn't say anything more vis-a-vis the female counterpart. So we're going to go and learn that from the Koyin, Legabi Hilchas Minchas Koyin. Just like over the Minchas Koyin, it's only the Koyin. How do I know? Because Aaron in front of. Here too, we're going to learn the same thing, that it's only the Koyin and not the Koyhenis. Now the question is, when we say Koyin V'Lekihenis, are we referring to the Bas Koyin, or referring to the Ashes Koyin, as well as what happens if a Bas Koyin married a Zor? What's the status? Does she lose her status? Because as you know, when you have a Bas Koyin, when she is still single and she lives with her parents in her parental home, the halacha is that the Bas Koyin is allowed to go and eat truma. Really? Yeah, she's allowed to eat truma just like her father and just like the other family members. However, if she gets married, then she can no longer eat from the truma. Ah, so that's when she was a Bas Koyin, when she was still single. What happens if she's a Bas Koyin and she got married? What's the din now? She doesn't eat truma any longer. That says Befej, Uvas Koyin Kisil Izor, Izor meaning a Yisrael or a lady. What about her entitlement to go and receive matonis? So back on the Umid Beis, when it said that Ula gave matonis to a kohenes, Rashi says beferish the kohenes, three lines at the bottom, bas koyin afilu, and our Gemara says eishes ish, but they correct it on the side, afilu eishes Yisrael, even though for purposes of truma she can no longer eat truma now that she's married to a zar. By the way, the Torah says uvas koyin kisia almana ugrusha v'zera einla. If Chas V'Sholem, ultimately this marriage terminates, because either the husband gives her a get, or Rachman al-Tzlan, he passes away, and there are no kindalach, what's the din? Then she, Shava el-Beisavir, Kinurel, Melechem, Avia, Teichel, she's allowed to go and eat truma. So it's only that interim period, as long as she's married, says Rashi, even though by truma she doesn't eat truma any longer, however, vis-a-vis matanis, she can. Because there's a major difference between matanis and truma. And that is, truma is osur lizorim. Masha'enkein, the matanis can be eaten by everyone and anyone. They belong to the kohen, but the kohen can invite you into his home and serve you zroya l'chayayim v'akeva, even though you're not a kohen. So therefore, the chiddush of Ula was, not only can you go and give the matana to the kohenis, as long as she's still single, but even if she is married, and she's married to a zor, you can continue giving her the matonis kuhuna, meaning zroi l'chayayim v'ha kefa. But getting back to our Gemara now that Rabbi Shmuel says, I respectfully disagree, koyin v'lekenis, does that apply even when she is single abas koyin, where she's allowed to go and eat the truma, and she's allowed to go and eat the matonis? The question is, can you also give it to her as a recipient? So you'll see the Taptoisis, in fact, has a machloikis here. Taptoisis begins, Nira toloi memayit elebi nisis lezot. The only shaila that we're talking about, as to which Dvei Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Ula and says, no, you cannot give it to Kohenis, you can only give it to a Kohen, that's only if she's married to a Zar. Avaloinis is if she's still single, kim de ochle betruma, she eats even truma, the chamira, so much chomer, calls can the avala matonis. Navada, she can give her matonis, she can eat matonis. That's how Toysis takes it as for granted. Umiyo, but even Toysis says, Efsher, to liyavina lo le Rabbi Shmuel. Even though she's allowed to eat the matonis, she's no different than any other person in Klai Yisrael that can eat the matonis of Zrei Vachyam Vakyeva, but maybe according to Rabbi Shmuel, since it says Kohen V'Lekihenes, you cannot give it to her, even though she's still a Bas Koyin, meaning she's still single at the time, and she's not allowed married to a Zar. So Tosis has two pshatim here. Starts off near the lema mayit, only when she's married to a zar, but not when she's still single. But miu efshe, no. Maybe Rishmol Taka holds you cannot go and give it to Baskoyin, even though she's single and even though she's eating truma, but don't give her Zeroy Lechayim Vakevel.
Is there a Rishmol Tana?
I know you're going to ask, how can Ula argue with a Tana?
Exactly.
Avada, and that's why the next line in the Gemara continues on. Debater Blezim and Yaakov, Tana, he learned, he's Taka a Tana, and he learned in the Braisa, Koyin Vafila Koyhenes. Now, where does he take his Koyin Vafila Koyhenes from? If I'm learning the Koyin by the mincha, I'm learning koyin v'loy kehenes. So why don't they say the same thing, mincha v'loy kehenes? Why v'afilu kehenes? He says, I happen to agree with Tana Rabbi Shmuel's drasha that I would learn sasim and mafurish, and just like by a korban mincha, we know that it's koyin v'loy kehenes because of the Aaron Uvanov. I would say the same thing over here too. However, here it says the word koyin twice in the same pasuk. Where does it say twice? It says ze yeh mishpat ha-koyhanim me'esa'om me'esa zoivchei ha-zevach imshor imse v'nosan la-koyin hazroi v'chayayim v'akeva. Why does it have to repeat the word koyin twice in the pasuk? Ha-v'mir ha-chamir and mi'chanam el rabbi to go and tell you taka. The first time tells you koyin v'loi kehenes. Second time tells you koyin v'loi kehenes. Therefore, I put the two miyats together, it's like a double negative in English, v'havdol, and therefore she does get after all. And it wasn't only Ula that fearsach like Reb Lezer and Yaakov. We have now a slew of a bunch of other Amiroim that did the same. Rav Kahana Ochal Bishvil Ishtoi. Now I know the word Kahana sounds like he's a Koyin, but in fact this Rav Kahana was a Yisrael. Yeah, but don't we have other Gemaras that say that Rav Kahana was a Kohen? Yes, in fact, there are other such Gemaras, but Tosis over here, and Tosis in two or three other places in Shas, says that there were multiple Rav Kahanas. Yes. If you look at the second Tosis, Rav Kahana, Ochel Bishvil Ishtoi, Zeu Rav Kahana, Shegolem Yibavali Eretz Yisrael, of Mesechus Bava Kama, Shaloi Hoye Kohen. He was not a Kohen. How do I know? Because it says over there, Amar Rav Kahana, he loved in a sivis kantif. I wouldn't have married a kohenes, like galoy, I wouldn't have had to go into galus. So it's all because of the fact that he was a zar and he married a kohenes. The acher, and there was a second Rav Kahana, yesh, shahoye kohen. He was a kohen. Because it says in Morin Kedushin, Rav Kahana, shokol sudra, bin yiraben. He received, instead of getting the five shkolim, he got a sudra. More with this, trying to go and tell us that b'pinyan ben, you don't have to give the five coins, even though, of course, that's the standard minhag, as long as you give the equivalent. That's also sufficient. But you see, Tosfos says, and don't just rely on me. And I and Oid, Tosfos in Kiddushin, and Tosfos in Bava Basra, and Tosfos in Psachim. The Tosfos, you have a few Tosfos in, even though our Tosfos here says there were two, there's another Tosfos that said that there were, in fact, three. Moreover, the Art Scroll, as you may know, besides, I think there's 72 volumes of Shas in the English and the Hebrew version. They also have an introductory volume called Introduction to the Talmud, and there they have a list of many of the Amiroim, the Tanoim and Amiroim, and they give background information. They list altogether four separate Rav Kahanas, the three that Tosis talks about here. Tosis talks about two, Elsa Tosis talks about three, but he says in fact there are four. But the Introduction to the Talmud, the writer writes, we're not absolutely sure which of the Rav Kahana said particular memories in the Gemara, since there were multiple, so sometimes there's some doubt as to whether a particular Rav Kahana was number two or number three or number four. They show there in the introduction that this was first generation, second generation, third generation, different generations of Amiroim with the name Rav Kahana, some Kahanim and some not. But anyway, this Rav Kahana over here, Ochel Bishvil Ishtoi, meaning that like Ula, presumably someone gave his wife, who was a Bas Koyin, gave her the matonis of Zeroy Lechayim, and now Rav Kahana says, Altsmir, I'm just a czar, because of my wife, I'm receiving these matonis, and I'm able to go and eat them. The Ran writes in the back of the Gemara that there's no chidush that if his wife is entitled to receive it, then he's allowed to go and eat it. After all, we're saying that the matonis do not have any kedusha-like truma, so anybody can eat it. So, of course, Rav Kahana can eat it. So says the Ram, the chiddush of our Gemara is just like we're saying, the koyin vafilu koyhenes, it's koyhenes vafilu eshet or ish or baal ha koyhenes. that what that you can go if you know that you have a kohenis who's married to a zar. In fact, he wears a cap that's saying I'm a zar. You're allowed to go and give him the zroi lechayam v'akeva b'schus ishtoi. Since we know that ish v'isha, I'm sorry. That's true. But over and above that, you can go and designate him as the recipient, not because he's a kohen, but he's married to a kohen. Because that said of kahana, I used to go and get not only ochal that I ate from the matan skuna, because anybody can eat matan skuna, but in fact receive matan skuna. People used to go and send me on Purim or throughout the year shlach munis of zrei lochem v'keva, even though my Yisrael, but bishvil ishti. On the schus of my wife. Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, exactly. The only problem would be grusha and mono. Okay, whatever. Let's go right there. So the baraita, Rav Papa ochal bishvil ishtoi. Same thing. He also ate because of his wife. Rav Yema ochal bishvil ishtoi, and Rav Yehuda Avin ochal bishvil ishtoi. So you see four or five great giants in the Talmud that they all held koyin vafilu kohenes. Omra dina omali maremer. Hilchasa kavasi de Rav, the Hilchasa kavasi de Rav Chizda, the Hilchasa kavasi de Ula, the Hilchasa kavasi de Rav Ada bar Ahava. Who are these four? Now notice that we are quoting initially omali maremer. That's a maremer we have on the Amid Beis, the line before we started today. Four lines from the bottom of the Amid. We ended off yesterday's Gemara, Dorish maremer, Hilchasa kavasi de Rav, the Hilchasa kavasi de Rav Chizda. What did Rav say? Rav was the one that said that if a Levi does not want to give matonis to the Kohen, since I have a suffix whether a Levi is concluded in me'es ha'om, me'es oif chesavach, whether it's considered to be om or not, could be that the Levi is included, could be the Levi is not included. I'm not sure, and therefore if the Levi does not want to give matonis, we cannot force him to give matonis, because maybe he's taka off the hook. Therefore, we're not going to enforce any rules about matanas vis-a-vis the Levi. So that was the halacha like Rav. Was Hilchas or Kavasi Rav Chizda? That was what we learned yesterday at some length, that Rav Chizda said on the top of Kuf Lamed Amid Beis, Hamazik Matlis Kahuna, Oisha Aklan Potim Aleshalim, either because it says in the Pasik, Ze Yemishpat HaKehanim, or because it's a moment She'ein Leitayt. So just, we're really repeating that Maremer of yesterday. Now we're adding to Maremer two more. Number one, that's the Ula. That's how we start off today's Gemara, that you can go and give the Matonis even to Koyhenes. And what did Ravada Bar Hava say? We didn't have that until now. You're right. What did Ravada Bar Hava say? Levia Shiolda Mena, Potur Shiolda, or Shiolda Mena, Potur Mechom Meshloim. In other words, we're talking about the din of Pidyon HaBen. A mother has given birth to her first son. Normally, you know, was there a C-section? No, it was a normal, regular lady. Oh, it was the father, a Kohen or a Levi. No, the regular Yisraelim. But the mother is a Levia. Ooh, says Rav Ada Bar Hava. Even if the mother is a Levia, same halacha applies, that the son that is born, hot michav shlo, you do not have to go and give pidyon haben. So we pass on like all of these four. And now we go back again to Zrei Lochayam V'Akeva, and we're going to talk about other types of Sveikois. Not the suffix with a Levi is Mechuyev, but Legabi, which behemoth do you have to go and give Zrei Lochayam V'Akeva?
That's another Gavra.
Okay. Why is there a suffix? Because it says, after all, we know from other Gemaras that normally behemoth b'chlal chaya, chaya b'chlal behemoth. But over here it says, befeirish by the Zrei Lochayam V'Akeva, it says in the Pasuk, im shor im seh. Sounds like only a shor and a seh and nothing else. And doesn't say over here me behemo isecho or behema. So it's teira sa behema. It says shor im seh. Ah, so Poshim Shad is it only applies by behemas and not by chayas. Okay, that works very well. What happens if you have a situation of kilayim? Oh, and that's what the Gemara is now going to address. Now there are two different types of kilayim. You can have a kalayim which is a mixture of two behemoths. For instance, a goat mating with a lamb, with a U-E-W-E. So therefore they're both tzoin, both seh. That's one type of kalayim. But of course you have the kalayim also of a behemoth and a chaya together. We talked about that early in our Masechta, called a kvi or a koi or a kei. depending on how you pronounce it. And there we're talking about that you have a mixture between a behem and a chai, and especially we're talking about if the husband, the male, was a tzvi, deer, and the female was a tiyosha, meaning a female goat. So what happens to the product of
they
such...
They have the same gestation.
All behemoth dakas are 5 months, behemoth gasa is 9 months. Then we had a gabi and nochosh, could be up to 7 years. Yeah. Back to our gabi, it's tonoban, hazrei v'chayayim v'akeva, noyhagim v'kalayim. It's that same halacha applies to the product of kilayim. You do have to go and give the matonis to the kohen. And also by erkvi. So Reb Lezer says, I agree with the Tanakhama 50%. Kilayim habamina ezmen erochel chayim matonis. And the reason is because both father and mother happen to be behemoths. Therefore, you have to go and give matonis. However, now, an argument is min ha'tayish, min ha'tzvi. On the side, they change it to min ha'kvi. Number one, to be consistent with the Lashon, because the Tanakhama also said kilayim kvi. So he also repeats kvi. But also, as we'll see in the Gemara, another two lines, this only applies to a tzvi with a tiyasha, and not a tayish and a tzviya. And you're wondering, what difference does it make? It's a mixed marriage. The afkimin is because of the fact that we have a machloikis earlier on in our Masechta, where the choshen lezera a'av, or not choshen zera. Everybody holds that you go after the zera ha'ein. That's a double bottom. We know who the mother is. The question is, will you choshen lezera a'av or not? We're going to get into that in another moment. So, and therefore, if it's a kvi, put them in a matonis, and that's how Reb Lezer argues with Tanakhama. Tanakhama says, Yechoyev in both. Right? And they have them both by Kilayim and Kvi. Reb Lezer says, Kilayim and Maskim. They're both behemoths, but not by a Kvi. Zokti Marbe.
So, what are you holding?
We're on Kuf Lamed Beis Omid Aleph, and we're on roughly a third, a little bit further down the Omid, on the line where there's a parenthesis that says, Min HaTayish, or Min HaTzviah. Have that to say.
Okay. Sure.
Baruchim to you. That's my Choshev Shvugar, who lives in Buru Park. Anyway, continuing on, Reb Menachem Shloima Halevi Loewinger. We talked about a lady just a moment ago, and we're going to talk about it a little bit further. But in the meantime, Potem and Amatanis. So, Tumar, Mechti. Kaim Mulon, we had earlier on the Masechta, especially when they had the Perek Kisi Adam, we discussed it at greater length then. Tilini Kisi Adam Umatonis Loi Mishkachasle. Where would the halacha even come up to be discussed? El b'tzvi haba ala tiyosha, only by a male tzvi and a female tiyosha. In other words, and not like we had in the parentheses, the other way around. What's the reason why dafka in that type of situation? Ubein the Rebbeleza, ubein the Rabbanim misafklu. They both have the same chashash, the same suffix. Ichoshen zera av, ein choshen zera av. Okay, so now, for sure I know that the mother happens to be a tiyosha. So else the mother, one should have a din of giving matonois, because it's from the imshor, imseh, family of animals. And fakered also, because of the fact that it happens to be a tiyosha, the choyre one should not have the kisi hadam situation, because kisi hadam is only by a chai and an oif, and not by a behen. They have that suffix. Therefore, if I am a choshish lezera'av, let's put away the inyan of kisidam, we discussed that earlier in the Masechta, but just focusing now on the matonais. So now, if we are choshish lezera'av, then I shouldn't have to go and give the matonais, or as the Gemara is going to say in another couple of lines, maximum I should only have to go and give 50% of the matonais, because 50% of this animal that is alive, which we just shechted, was alive, just shechted, and was the pedigree was, the legacy was two, both from Behema and from Chaya, but the Chaya was on the father's side, right? As far as the mother's side of Zichar Behema, you should have to go and Zichar give your matanis. The father's side can Kayim Machen, because it's a Chaya. Chaya, you don't have to give matanis. So now, I'll be Choshe Zerav, or not Choshe Zerav. If I am Choshe Zerav, maximum I only have to go and give 50% of the matanis. Who cares who the father is, the mother was a tiyasha, then I have to go and give the whole 100% matanis. So what is the machlokes then? If both of them are mesapkelu, machlokes is b'seh, and mikzaseh kamifligi. When the Torah says imshor imseh, does it have to be 100% seh, or even a 50% seh? Marsova, the Tanakhama that says that you're chay b'matanis by the eiz and rochel kilayim, or not the kalayim, put that aside, the gabi, the din of the kvi, when we have the tzvi, together with the tiyosha, Seva filam mikzase. Even though I am, even if I were to be choishes to zera'av, therefore it's 50% chaya, 50% matana, I hold seva filam mikzase, even though it's only 50% a behema, you still have to give the matanas after all. And that's why the Tanna Kamma said you have to give matanas both from Kelayim and from a kli. Umar Sava says, Rabbi Lezer, no. Even if I were to be choshish lezera'av, seh v'afilu mikzaseh loy amrina. There's no such thing as seh v'afilu mikzaseh. It's got to be either 100% seh or zero. 50% is gunish. And therefore, you do not have to go and give the matones, because maximum this is a 50% seh and not a 100% seh. Like we just said, since it's only a mikzaseh, you're off the hook. Even though they say that seh doesn't have to be 100%, even a 50%, but pavdalishko, maximum, you only have to go and give 50% of the matanis, not 100% of the matanis, because it's only a 50% seh. So, oy bazoy, why did it say in that Mishnah, Azroi v'chayam v'keiva nehagim v'kelayim u'bikvi? Sounds like you have to go and give 100%. And therefore, you should only have to go and say, palgal ishkoy, the idach palgal, if the koyin says, I'd like to get 100% of the matanis, not just 50%, lay malay, let the balabus that owns this behema, that's mechuyiv to go and give the matanis, let him go and say, I see right, then choshen zera'av. If you can go and prove to me that we ignore the zera'av, and so therefore, this is considered to be a full-fledged seh, not a, just a 50% seh, a full-fledged seh, because who cares who the father is? Nafkamina. The ikar is who the mother is, and the mother was a tiyasha, and therefore, you want to get the 100% of the matanois. Bring a raya, ushkoil, and then you'll be able to go and get your 100%. So in other words, what we always say, ha-moitzi mechaveri olavarai. Usually a moitzi mechaveri olavarai is in a fact situation. You want to prove X, Y, Z, you have to prove the facts. Here the moitzi mechaveri olavarai is the halacha situation. If you can go and prove halacha lemaisa that ain chosh nezera'av, then I can go give you 100%. But nobody knows that for sure, because both I, Reb Lezer, and my adversary, the Rabbanan, all agree that misapka lehu in choshen zera'av or not. So maybe we are choshen zera'av, and therefore maybe this behemah is only 50%. Therefore, if it's only 50%, I'm only going to give you 50%. I'm not going to give you 100%, unless you can go and prove and show me from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and Igris Moshe and the Rebbe Chuvis Chum Soifer that we all pass in that choshen zera'av. I'm only going to give you 50% and not the other percent. So Frank Di Maria, it's mashal from that Mishnah that we quoted at the top, that by Kli you have to go and give 100. Chai b'matanis, it's not the chai b'palgit the matanis, it's chai b'matanis. So in Bazoi, the Chori, you should only have to go and give 50%. Even though the Mishnah didn't explain it, but that's what Ataka means, you're chai only in chutzi matanis and not all the matanis. You have a question?
Yes, this turns out to be Maman Hamad Basafek Chok in that situation. Mm-hmm. Even though it's using the power of Moshe Mechala Varaya, but effectively it's Maman Hamad Basafek Chok. And you have to give all of it or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a Moshe, so.
Okay, so let me answer your question. Two answers. State choose. Number one, throughout Shas, we have this machloki between Reb Meir and the Chacham. He holds Maman Hamad Basafek Cholkin, and Reb Meir holds like Sumchus. Sumchus is the one that says, right, exactly. They are the ones together, both hold that Maman Hamad Basafek Cholkin. The Rabbanan, however, disagree, and they hold the Moitzi Mechavel of Arai. And we paskin like the Rabbanan, and not like Sumchus, and not like Reb Meir. So whenever you have a Safik, you don't go and automatically say, well, let's just split it down the middle, but rather you go and say, Hamoitzi Mechavel of Arai. Here too, even if you're going according to Sumchus and according to Remeh, we have a shaila. Do I have to give all of the matanas? Do I have to give none of the matanas? So, we're going to give 50% of the matanas. Even according to them, you could still work out the same cheshbon. So therefore, no kasha, when it said earlier on that you have to go and give matanas, we mean chutzi matanas and nish deganzi matanas. Fine. Sounds like a good teretz from Mosav Reb Zeira. And now we're quoting bits and pieces from Mishnayos and Masechtas Bikurim. Within Masechtas Bikurim, it says, Kvi yesh by drachem shavim lebehema, vi yesh by drachem shavim lechayet, vi yesh by drachem shavim lechayet u lebehema, and yesh by drachem she'en lechayet loy lebehema v'loy lechayet. And in Mesechtes Mishnayis, in Mesechtes Bikurim, this is three or four Mishnayis, each one identifying and enumerating, various halachas where they're the same as a behema, same as a chaya, same as both, or different than both, as the Gemara explains. So we're only really going and quoting part of those Mishnayis. So k'viyesh bedrach shom lebehema, viyesh bedrach shom lechay, viyesh bedrach shom lechay ulebehema. Ketzad, chel bay osur kechalei behema. As you know, there's a major difference between the chelev of a behema and the chelev of a chaya. Chelev chaya is mutter. Really? Yeah. How come I don't know people that eat chelev chaya? First of all, most people don't eat chelev anyway, just simply because even the shuman, which is kosher, schmaltz, they're all worried today about fat and about cholesterol and the arteries and stuff of that nature. But a maisa, one is allowed to eat the chelev of a chaya. Okay, so therefore, in which respect is a kvi similar to behema? It's similar to behema that chel bay osir kechalei behema. V'domei chayiv lechasos kidama chaya. It is similar to a chaya that if and when you go and shecht a kvi, you have to do kisei adam just like a chaya. And you remember we had earlier on Masechta against shak lebetaria. What about on yontif? You're not supposed to do a kisei adam on chaya on yontif. Not on chaya. On a kvi, because since a kvi happens to be suffik chaya, suffik behema, on the tzad that it happens to be a behema, there is no din of kisei adam. So throughout the week, you do kisei adam anyway. Worst comes to worst, it's behema. So I did kisei adam, we haven't lost much effort and much money in going and covering over the dam of a kvi, even if it were to be a behema, shine. It was unnecessary to do the kisei. I did it. No, nothing happened. But if you do it on yontif, you get into all types of problems of either chafira and bone and stira and muktzah. It's in fact the first Mishnah in Masechtes Beya talks about dam kira muchano. They not dam kira, the efer kira muchano. Anyway, so chayv you chayv lechasis kedam achay. Now drachem shoven the behema ulachaya shedomoy vegidoy asurin kibehema v'chayv. We know the dam of all behemoths and all chayas is asur. There's no heteron dam, except for perhaps dam evorim. But even that, you don't have a din of koris, but you still have a din of alav, and you can go and get malchus for that. And ginanosha, that's asur of behemoth v'chay. And finally, when we're talking about a kvi, chayim israel chayayim v'hakeva, and now we're missing a key word, kibbehema. That's the aleph the Bach throws in the word kibbehema. Because otherwise, it sounds like the drachem shavu the behemul lechaya shedomei vegidoy asurim kibehem v'chaya, and it's also chayv zreim lechayv v'keva like behemul v'chaya, but that's wrong because zreim lechaya is only by behema and not by a chaya. It says in the pasuk im shor im set. So that's why the Bach throws in the word kibehema. Good. Reblazer pointer. Reblazer says your pointer. So this is really the same chacham and Reblazer that we were quoting up above. Again, we're talking about over here by Gabi a kvi yesh by drachim, and we're saying the Tanakama holds you have to go and give the full Sorei Lechem V'Akevi, the full matanis, and Reblezer says your potter. And again, because of the machloik is whether sev, afilim mikzaseh or not. Pray Timora, didn't you tell me a moment ago that everybody agrees that maximum you only have to go and give 50% of the matanis? But here it sounds like v'chay b'Sorei Lechem V'Akevi, just like a behema. Why does it say just chayv matonis? You're going to say chutzim matonis. Everything more, I did the tana chelbay v'domay to loy masni chatzi chatzi. Once again, to be consistent in style in the lashon of the Mishnah, since when we spoke about the chelav and the dam, we didn't go and say that there's a din of only the chatzi. B'shem hachil katani chatzi. Now, of course, by the chelav and the dam, there's no reason to go and say chutzi, because over there, whether it happens to be behema or whether it's a chaya, the chelav, the chelav, in fact, there would be a distinction, because the chelav of chaya is mutter. Dam, of course, is
also aser everywhere.
Aser everywhere, but specifically the gabi din of the kisi hadam, it's only shaykh le gabi the chaya and not le gabi the behema. So now, theoretically, if I am, for instance, if I just shechted a kvi, I should be able to go and say, I'm only going to cover half of the dam. Why? Because the father of this kvi was a behemoth. And what's the din legabi behemoth? He's potter b'kisi adam. So therefore, maximum I only have to mechasa 50% of the dam. But is there such a thing? How can you go and distinguish between this half of the dam? By matonis you can go and split it down the middle. By the dam you can't split it down the middle because I can't go and identify which dam is the chaya dam or which one is the behemah dam. In fact, there is no such thing. It's a combination of the two. Same thing with the chaylev. I can't go and eat the chaylev. I can't go and say, well, maybe I should be able to eat half of the chaylev, because half of the chaylev, the kli, is from a chayev. But of course, the whole chaylev developed inside the anatomy of this kli, based on both the father and the mother. So therefore, says Rashi, by chaylev and that will be inappropriate to go and say chutzi chutzi, but I have no choice. I'm also in all of the chaylev, and there is a din of kisi adam on all of the dam. Says the Gemara, even though over here by matonis, I could have said you only have to pay half of the matonis, because we have our shaylul alocha with the sev afilu miktaseh or without miktaseh, all based on choshen zerav, not choshen zerav. So I could split it down the middle, and in fact halacha this Gemara holds. Yes, you only have to give 50%. So far, don't jump to conclusions. But the Gemara holds taka, you only have to give 50%. Why didn't we say chotzi? Because since by the chelav adam we didn't say chotzi chotzi because it would have been inappropriate. Shemachil kaktani chotzi to be the same in style. It's just like over there we say osir totally in chelav and a total kisi adam. Here too we use the expression as if it's total matonis, even though we really mean only chutzi. However, as we'll see, it's not so simple. Ki osir Ravin omer Rabbi Yochanan. Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael. It's the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Kvi lerabbanan chay bekul matonis. Wow, I thought kvi is maximum 50% because of the fact that 50% chaya, 50% behema. If you want to go and say choshen zera'av or not choshen zera'av, you got to go and prove it. Or at the very least, go and say the man mutal sofik cholkin mit sumkas and ameir. Zok Yimur, I'll tell you why chaya bekulam atanis. The sign it says in the pasuk im shor im seth. The choyer could have simply said that Zayy Mishpach Kihan Me'esa Me'ezoivchei Zevach Shor V'Nosan LaKoyin Se Nosan LaKoyin Shor V'Se V'Nosan LaKoyin. Why did it say Im Shor Im Se? Why do we need those two Im's for? So tomorrow Shor would have been enough. Matam Aloimi Im Shor. The Rabbi says Sekalayim. That extra Im comes to tell you not only a 100% Shor, but even a 50% Shor. Se matam aloima. Se is good, but matam aloima Im Se. The Rabbi says Akvi that the same halacha applies by a kvi as well, even though that's chutzi chaya, you have to give benos lakoyin zroi v'chayayim v'hakeva. Oh, so therefore, this is no longer based on chutzi se miktsas or choshen zera avni. Have a pefeish im to go and be marba a kvi. What does Rabbi Lezer do with that? Rabbi Lezer high im lomeli niboyle lechalik to go and tell you that if it wouldn't say the ims, I would have thought. In other words, what would it have said? It would say se shor v'se. It would say Meziv Chazevach Shor V'Sev and Aslakoyin. There's a problem. I might have thought that the din of matonis is only if you shechted today both a Shor and a Seh. You have to go and give Zrei V'Chaim Akiv. How would I know to go and say one or the other? That's why I have the Ims. Rabban L'Chalik Min Aluhu Ad Rabban No L'Chalik. Reb Lez has a shtickle point. If I'm using the Ims to tell you the Rabbi Sekalayim, the Rabbi Sekvi, how do I know that even just one animal is enough to mechayit for the Zroi L'chaim V'akeva? After Nafkaluhumi Eis Zoivchi HaZevach, meaning Zevach is Loshen Yochid. If it's coming to tell you that you're only chayiv to go and give matonis when you did both, it's saying Eis Zoivchi HaZvachim Shor V'seh. Why did it say Zoivchi HaZevach? Even one is enough. Reb Lez Zahai Mei Zoivchi HaZevach Mai Ovedle. What does he do with that? Miboy Leva Kidder Ovedi Amarova Hadin Im HaTabach. What means in a matabach? We had this already yesterday. We're going to have a little bit more about this now in the Mishnah. And on the Amid base, that you have an owner of the animal who himself is not doing the shechita. He asked, or he commissioned, he paid, Eshoicha, please go and shecht my animal. Even though, in terms of who has the chiv to give the matanis, it's the owner of the animal. However, if I'm the koyin, and I'm upset I didn't give my matanis, my baldover, my litigant, so to speak, is not the owner, but it's the tabach, it's the shoychet. So the shoychet has to go and implement the obligation of the owner. So much so that the poskim say that we know, we learned the Gemara yesterday, that very often by many of the matnas kahuna, we have the toivis ayin, not toivis hanah. What's the toivis hanah? That the Baalim can go and choose. For instance, if I'm a farmer and I have my truman, I have my maserishin, I can choose. I don't want to give it to Yankel HaKoyin. I want to give it to Beryl HaKoyin. I want to give it to Shmuel HaKoyin. Somebody could even pay him $5 to give it to my Einikel HaKoyin as opposed to giving it to the other. So who has the Toivah Sanoa over here? They say the Baalim have the Toivah Sanoa. They're the one that select. They're the ones that select the Koyin to receive the Matanis. But who's the one that implements it in terms of physically of handing it over? That's the Tabach. Therefore, the Tabach has to go and ask the owner, "Owner, I just finished shechting your animal. I'm now extracting from the animal's Reuel Chaim Akeva. Who do you want me to give it to? I want to give it to Yankel HaKoyin. Okay, I'll take care of it. Give it to Yankel HaKoyin. And if Yankel HaKoyin doesn't receive his matanas, the guy that he can scream at is the Tabach as opposed to the owner, because the Dinam HaTabach. The Tabach is the one that's responsible for implementation. For the pasuk is with Ches. Zok the Mishnah weiter. Bechor shenis arv b'meya. We have a bechor. Bechor is potter from giving the matanas. In other words, if you have a behema bechor, and here we're not talking about a behema bechor, which is a tam, because if it's a tam, we'd be shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about that it's a poshi balmum. We're shechting it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, you're potter from giving zrei lechayam v'keva. Now, what happens if I had 100 animals? 99 of the animals are regular, normal animals, and one of them happens to be Bechor, and they all got mixed up together. Origin is Arab. Yeah, you have a question?
No, they're Chulin.
Yeah, the others are total Chulin, and this has a din of Chulin plus, because although it happens to be a Balmum, but nevertheless, you have to be careful. For instance, you're not allowed to go and shecht it be'itliz, you're not allowed to go and sell it in the marketplace. You
can't shear it.
You can't shear it, yeah, exactly. Anyway, Bechor shenis arev b'meya, you have a Bechor that got mixed in with the 99 other chulin animals, they have 100 altogether, and I'm using 100 shochtim to go and shecht these 100 animals. Is man shemeya shochtim es kulan, poitrin es kulan, then each one can go and claim I'm the one that's shechting the Bechor. You say no? You prove it. Since you cannot prove it, none of us know because it got mixed in, so each one can go and use that as a defense, not to have to give matonis to the coin. So point is cool. However, if Echad Choychad is cool, if one is shechting all 100, then Ein Poitrin Loi Ella Echad, then you can only pater one out of that. Only one of them happens to be a Bechor, not all 100. So the other 99 you're going to have to go and give. And one of them you'll be pater from. So you have to select one of the 100 to determine who you're going to give, because otherwise, but one of them I have to certainly give. And therefore, no, forget. The 99 I have to go and give, and one of them not. Yeah, what's the
thing? They all have to be Baalim Baalim Mum, in other words.
Right, because the Mum should be a hecker, which one it is.
Well, aside from being a hecker, I'm just saying that's a good point, but aside from that, how are you going to be shafting it if it's, it should be in the base of Middash?
No, it's a Baalim Mum.
For sure the Bechor is a Baalim Mum. So therefore, we're not checking in Beis HaMikdash.
Okay.
But the follow-up question, which I think both of you are alluding to, how can you not go and recognize which one is which? You're saying, Bechor Shinsar B'meya, one of them is a Balmum, that's the Bechor. What about the other 99? Presumably the regular animals. So why can't you go and identify, just like I identified initially that there's Bechor and Balmum, and that's why I'm not checking in the Beis HaMikdash. So now let's go over all 100 and say, okay, whoever's a Balmum, raise your hand. Nobody raised their hand. Okay, so let me look around. Oh, I see he has a problem in the ear, a problem in the nose, a problem in the toes. So why can't you identify? That's
because it could be another one that's holding that has a Balmum also.
And then you'd have two. What about all 100? And the answer is that all 100 are Balmum. Really? How do I know? Look at the Tosfos, it's Zoruch. Now, Bizman Shemeya Shoichtim. You see halfway down the Omid. Bizman Shemeya Shoichtim, Kulan Pturim. Al Korchach, what does he say?
Kulan Balmum.
So it's talking about Nisara, then Makirim boy. I cannot tell because all the Acherim Bali Mumenayim, every one of them, all 100 have Mumen. Not 99 of them have Mumen, but that doesn't make a difference. Who cares? But the Bukhara has a Balmum, so therefore you cannot go and check the Bithmidish, but I don't know which one is which now. Yeah.
And if you had a Bechor that mixed in with 100 behemoths, then you'd...
You're talking about Bechor Tam?
Bechor Tam.
Yeah.
You'd
have to be Makdish the other, assuming that Beis HaMikdash is standing, be Makdish all the other 99, you'd bring all of them for Tarek Kabbalah.
Okay. Be careful with the horn.
Be careful with?
The horn, not to mix it.
The horn. Okay.
No,
the Bukhar, not the Bukhar. Okay, maximize. Exactly. Be careful. Fine. So we get back to our Mishnah now. So
you said 99 others. The Lashon Mishnah is B'meya.
Okay, I apologize.
No. Was it an error? Was that a specific adieu?
Neither of them.
Because we have 100.
I know. Sometimes you have 100 plus 1, and sometimes
200 plus 1.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. If you remember, we had the same machlokes earlier on. Ligabe a chal and ligabe a kovet or a lave that got mixed in, where the Gemara said that you have to have 60 plus 1 or 61. By Bayim we had even 62. You're right. So it could very well be.
I was waiting for intentional or
no, it was not intentional.
Just the speed of the shear.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, and as you see, the speed of the shear is really going quickly since we are dwelling on that issue. Okay. And we continue on back to the Mishnah. Almost. If you're shechting for a kohen, the kohen does not have to go and give matanois. He keeps them for himself. That's what we learned so far. Not so simple. But Ashoich Lekoyin, Ulaivik Echovim, Potem and Atonis, he does not have to go and give Matonis. Now, notice this is Ashoich Lekoyin, Ulaivik Echovim. The Mishnah would have made it simpler to say, Ha Koyin, Ulaivik Echovim, Potem and Matonis. Why did it say, Ha Shoich Lekoyin, Ulaivik Echovim, Potem and Atonis? The Gemara is going to go and bring a raya to what Rava said a moment ago at Dina Matamach. We'll see that Mirchim on the Omid base. Va Mishnatavimoin. If you have a Kohen that is being mishtatif together with a Yisrael, the Yisrael is the one that they both own it, 50-50 or even 99-1, but bottom line is they're both shutfim. Because of the shutfis of the Kohen, you're potter from having to give matanois. But the one that's shechting it, and everybody knows that the owner is a Yisrael, because he has the 99%, and he's a silent partner with only 1% or 5% or whatever. So Tzorach She'irshayim, this Tzorach She'irshayim is Alts Maris Ayin. What's the Maris Ayin? If I see that Yisrael is shechting a behemoth and it belongs to him, and then after that, Koyin comes by and he says, I don't owe you anything, I'm not going to give you matanois. Everybody would say, oh, he's a bad guy. I thought he was an Erlich Ayin, he gives matanois. Why didn't I give him matanois? Oh, because there's a shutfis with a Yisrael, with a Koyin. Who said a shutfis with a Koyin? So therefore, even before you shecht it, make a simon on the outside, put up the big sign and say, this animal belongs also partially to a kohen, so therefore he won't have to go and give matanos. See, look, Rashi, three lines at the bottom. Torch she yishim, she also by simen, some side of simen. She avinu haroyim, she ain't a kulish. So people should know, so they shouldn't be choishi b'chshayim that this person not give matanos. Good. V'im omar chutz mina matanos, potim mina matanos. We go back to the Mishnah of imam chutz. What does that mean? You have a kohen who says to Yisrael, "I'm selling you this animal." But I'm not selling it to you. Bakol mikol kol. I'm retaining for myself the Israel chayim vakeva. I'm keeping for myself. Says Imar, says the Mishnah. That's perfectly fine. That's potum and avtanus. In other words, the new owner that's buying it, since that was a stipulation in the contract, so then he, the koyin, the original owner, gets the matanais, and the new owner is potum from having to give matanais to any other koyin, because it doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the koyin. Omar, now this next part of the Mishnah we already learned yesterday, we quoted yesterday. Omar mechor li b'nei me'eha shel para. You have the shoichet who is shechting now and the animal, and now he is selling all different parts of the animal, and one of them is a package of the b'nei me'ayim. B'nei me'ayim are the intestines, the large intestines, small intestines, etc. And of course that includes within it the four stomachs, which includes the keva. And he says, sell to me the whole shtickel, the ganze b'nei me'ayim. And they had within it matanis, meaning the keva, not the Israel chayim, that doesn't belong to Mimiyayim, but he had in it the keva. So now, since the lokeach said, I want the whole package deal of Mimiyayim, and he gave it to him for $10, $2, $5, whatever it was, a package price for the whole geshäft, so then he has to go and give the keva to the kohen after all.
No refund, though.
No refund. However, if he sold it to him, but he said, let's put it all on the scale, and then therefore he charged more as a result of the fact that there is a keva there. The keva doesn't belong to the shoichet, it doesn't belong to the, it belongs to the kohen, the lokeach, who bought it now. Sorry. The matana of the keva really belongs to the kohen. Since it belongs to the kohen, he had no business in selling it and weighing it and charging for it. So therefore, nois from the kohen, the new owner, he has to hand it over to the kohen. And Rashi said yesterday, he hands it over as a shliach on behalf of the mocher, because the mocher is the one that shechted it, or shechted on his behalf, whatever. So the owner, the original owner, has that chiv to go and give through the Chaim Akeva to the Kohen. He has no business selling it doesn't belong to him. And now that he sold it, and he put on the scale and he charged him, illegally, he can go and get a full refund or a full discount for the weight of that keva. Okay, good. Look to Yimar Yetz. We said that if you have a Bechor, and this Bechor is 1 out of 100, since I don't know which one is which, Potem and Amatanis. And if you know which one it is, or there are 100 different, or in one Shoicha checks all of them, then he's Potter on one of the behemoths from having the Kimatanis. Why? Because it's a Bechor. So Frey Timara, I don't understand the fact pattern over here. Vamai, Yovei Olav Koyin Mishnei Tzedotim. Mishnei Tzedotim means from both sides, like what we would say, Mimonavshach. The Koyin certainly is entitled to Matanis whichever way you look at it. Vamai, Ibechor Hu. If this animal, of the 100 animals, this is the real bona fide Bechor, then the whole thing belongs to me. You have to give the Bechor to the Kohen. Even if it's a Balmum, you give it to the Kohen, and the Kohen has to go and then can't bring in the Beis Midrash. He goes and shechs it as if it's Chulin plus outside the Beis Midrash, and you should lie. Vila Bechoru, and if it's not a Bechor, right. Then give me my Matanis. Exactly. It's one or the other. It's not both. Yeah. So if it's a Bechor, give me the whole animal. You tell me maybe it's a chulin. Then at least give him the matanis. So one of Shach, he should get it. Why did it say in the Mishnah that he's potter? Everything Gemara Amar of Oishia Baboli de Kayin. It's talking about that this Bechor was already born a month ago, 3 months ago, or whatever, and the original owner already handed it over to the Kohen. It was already a Balmum then, or it subsequently became a Balmum, and the Kohen says, I don't need to eat it any longer. Anyway, it's a Balmum, I don't have to bring it for a carbon. Instead of my eating it, I'm going to go and sell it to a Yisrael. He's allowed to do that. It's Mum and Kohen, it's Nechse Kohen, he can go and sell it. So Yitaka sold it to a Yisrael B'mum. So now the Yisrael owns a Bechor. Because of the fact that it happens to be Bechor, it's potter from having to go and give Sroi L'chayayim V'ha Keva. But so don't ask me now, let a Kohen come from Beit Tzedotim and say, if it's a Bechor, give it to me. I already gave it to a Kohen. A Kohen already got it. I was Mekayim my mitzvah. And in fact, maybe I didn't even own it originally. A Kohen sold it to me, Bimumai, which he's allowed to do. It's almost like there's no opinion by Bechor, so he sold it. So now I, the Israel, own it. I don't have to give it anymore to a Kohen because the Kohen already received it. Or do I have to go and give Matanis? If it happens to be a Bechor, I don't. If it's not a Bechor, I do. So that's the suffix of our Mishnah. And as we were already medayik in the Mishnah. It's a good finish.
Yeah, it's your custom in a safer, but okay, from the Mishnah, it's...
We have to fit into the Negin.
It's your case.
It must be talking about a Bali Dekoin, otherwise the Gemara is right. I don't understand. Right, whatever the situation is, I always have to give them a ton. It's a man of shach.
Right.
Either I have to give the whole animal, or I have to give 5% of the animal. I have to go and give it. Good. So that makes sense. We're ready medayik. Why does it say ha-shoich? It should say koyin vayvicham turim and matanis. For listening, koyin vayvicham turim. Amar Rav Zoysim Meres ha-adinim ha-tabach. Like we had Rav that said on the Omer Aleph, he learned it from Zoyfchi ha-zevach, that it's the tabach that has to go and hand over the goods. So therefore we're saying, you tabach, if you shechted on behalf of a koyin, oivicham, it didn't belong to you, it belonged to them. So in the normal circumstances, the tabach is the one that is given the right and the obligation to hand over the goods of the matonis to the koyin. Here he's barred from doing so. Why? Because the owner happens to be a koyin or an oivicham. Dorash Rava. Now Rava is going to go and do two drushes, and on the surface it's going to look like a stira. Doresh Rava me'esa me'esa kehanim. Just like we had a shaila yesterday where the includes Leviim, but it certainly excludes kehanim for these purposes. But doesn't it say in the post me'esa me'es zoivchei hazevach, kishoy me'es zoivchei hazevach, oimer afilu tabach koyin b'mashma. Even if a koyin was involved, you're also chayiv to give the matonis. So me'esa is a miyot v'loy me'esa kehanim. If you will, is a riboy. Not that it's a riboy, but that's the poshim shan, even if it's the kohen that's doing the shechita. So let me ask you a question. So make up your mind. Is the kohen mechuyev to give matanis? Is it not mechuyev to give matanis? Says Rashi that it depends on whether he is shechting it or being shechted on his behalf for him to retain it for himself and for his mishpoche. Then you have a ptur. He does not have to go and give matonis. He's going to keep it for himself.
He gives it to himself, as it were. He gives it to himself.
Yeah, but not normally. This, like by truma, you have to be mafreshit, right. And then you say, okay, I don't have to give it to the other kehanim. I take it for myself. He doesn't even have to be mafreshit. He's potter and second guy. Just retains it like any other piece of the bank. On the other hand, what happens if he is selling it to the public? He's not keeping it for himself. It's fayanim. Or if he's selling it on as a business on a commercial level, then even the koyin has to go and give matonis to another koyin. Mm-hmm. Rashi says it over here. If you look at the Rashi, parallel to our Gemara, it's not really only kasol kadaitach. He probably takes out the word kasol kadaitach.
It's like Rabbi Cohen, who was in the shechita business. Yeah. You know, he doesn't keep the behavior.
So on the side, they change it to kasovat kahanim likriyam. They're not for our purposes, and therefore they're off the hook in giving. However, he was the shoychen and he's selling the behemoth and the behemoth flesh, then he does have to go and give the matonis after all to another koyin. If just for himself, he's potter. So therefore, if somebody asks you, does a koyin have to go and be mafresh and give the matonis or the keva, you have to answer him, it depends. If he's doing it for himself, he does not. If he's doing it for somebody else, yes. If he, in other words, he's selling it to other customers, he does have to go and give the matonis to another koyin. So now, the
Gemara... What's the difference if he is the owner, that he owns the behemoth?
Uh-huh.
Shechs it.
And is he going to use the meat for himself?
He's the owner.
He's the owner together with the tabach.
He was the owner.
Exactly. What's it then? If it's being sold to the public, then he has to go and give matonis to another kayin.
I thought it meant just that he was a house's behemoth. Understood.
So now let's see the master shoya. Ushbezichna dirab tavla koyin hava. Ushbezichna means the innkeeper. In other words, you had somebody that owns an inn, a motel, and Rab Tavla was one of the residents. Perhaps permanent resident, perhaps temporary resident, doesn't make a difference. So he was the Ushbezichne, and Rab Tavla was a koyin. Vavdocha klei milza, and the Ushbezichne, since he knew Rab Tavla, probably for a while, and he told him, unfortunately, my parnos is very, very schwach, and it's really hard to support my family. Also, come to Rab Tavla, so he came in front of Rab Tavla with this issue. Amalei, so Rab Tavla said, I have an eitzah for you. It's not an eitzah to make you into the biggest multimillionaire, but zil ishtatav bahadi tafchi Yisrael. Why don't you become a shutif to a Yisrael who's a tabach, who's in the meat business, who's selling meat, and who's shechting? The miga de miftri mataanta mishtatfi bahadoch. Because you're going to be pater him from having to give matanois, so then, as a result, you'll get a toivah sanah from that shudfus. The Yisrael is going to say, oh, thank you. Every time now, instead of having to give matonis, which were worth $25, I'm going to be able to keep that, and I'll give you $5 or $10 or whatever. He'll give him a cut. So therefore,
a cut of meat.
Or at least a cut in the money. How do we know that this is totally permissible? Well, we have this in the Mishnah. That's why we said in the Mishnah, you have to make such a roshem, right? What was the loshon of the Mishnah? Hamishtatavimon tzarech she'ir shoyim. And the Rashi said, why it's Tzarech She'ir Shoyim? She'avinu harayim she'ena kuli shel Yisrael. That's partially belongs to a Kayin. So l'choira, this Reb Tavla is giving a wunderbare Eitzah to the Eshbezichnei, that this way he'll be able to make a few dollars. But remember, he's not eating it on his own. We're selling this to the public. And we just said a moment ago in the name of Rava, if you're selling it to the public, then in fact, you would have to go and give Zroi v'chayayim v'keva to a koyin after all. So guess what happened? When afterwards, this Ushbezichne came in front of Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, Shkoyefut Rav Tavla says, but Chai Rav Nachman, you do have to give Zroi v'chayayim v'keva even though you're a koyin. And therefore your shutif, the Yisrael, will also have to go and give even though you're a koyin. Amalei, but Rab Tavla patron. I came to Rab Tavla a few minutes ago and he says, I'm potter because I'm a koyin. Amalei zil apik. Go, in other words, zil apik means go and take out the Zreil v'chayam v'keva and hand them over to a kohen. Don't retain it for yourself, and don't retain it for anybody else. V'loy, and if not, mafkin lechor Reb Tavla miunach. Otherwise, I'm going to go and schlep out Reb Tavla from your ear. Of course, that's an expression. So therefore, he's using a pun over here. Zil apik, go and take all the meat, meaning the Surah B'chayim Ekeven, take it out of your shoes. Although I'm going to take Reb Tavla out of your ear. Frey Timora, also Reb Tavla comes to Reb Nachman. How'd you do that? Omlei, my time over Mar Hochi? Well, why did you do that? Besides going and making me feel upset. But a koyin, isn't a koyin potter from giving Surah B'chayim Ekeven because it says, Me'eso Am, and Ez Nishkan Am, what's going on over here? Am Rabbi Shimon Levi. I'm sorry, I skipped a couple of lines. I'm sorry. I'm going to go over it. Don't be nervous. My time over Mar Hochi. Amalei. He asked him Acher Bar Chanina Midroima, and he said Amr Reb Shu Ben Levi, and then he adds Amru Ziknidarim. He adds no the Bechol Ziknidarim. Reb Shu Ben Levi and the Bechol Ziknidarim. Amru. What do they all say? Koyin Tabach Shtayim Mishalish Shabbosays Potem Namatonis. Initially, he's considered to be an amateur. He's not a professional salesman that is selling, because he's just started in the business. So that's deemed to be as if he's still shechting for himself. For all I know, maybe he didn't even have any customers the first couple of weeks, because people didn't even know who he was. They had to find out who gave you certification, who's your hashgacha, is that mashgiach reliable or not, you know, whatever.
It was
Rav Shechta. Rav Shechta, okay. Anyway, you're wonderful. Yeah, good. Anyway, Mikan ve'eilef, but after 2-3 weeks, then Chayv Matonis. Oh, Yitaka have to go and give Matonis. Yitaka have to give Matonis, even though the Koyin is the one that's selling it to the public. Koyin, Chayv Matonis, like Rava learned, Me'izviv Chayazevach, Philip Tabach Koyin, the Mashman. So then Rav Tavla says, okay, I hear what you have to say, but what did Rabbi Shu ben Levi and the Chachmidorim and all Rabacha Bar Chanina, all these wonderful people, what did they all say? But at least you get a break for the first 2 or 3 weeks. He's just going into the business now. It's the first 2 or 3 weeks. At least give him a break for these 2 or 3 weeks. At least give me that break of the 2 or 3 weeks. The word Masechta over here is not spelled like Masechta that we're learning Masechta Schulin. The Masechta over here, says Rashi, means a chanut, meaning a store. If he didn't have a store yet, and just rather this signs up in the shtibel saying, Rabbi Yisai, Yankel HaKoyin is selling meat, and you go and buy it, he has nice prices, and it's a reliable shchita and all the rest. Those first two, 3 weeks, you're right, he can go and keep the matonis for himself. I'm sorry?
Or he could sell it.
Yeah. Aval Hoch, in our case, the Kavmasechta, he has already opened up a store for with a big sign on it, meat for sale, and everybody knows about it. So
Basa Kasha.
Hopefully it doesn't say Basa Kasha, but hopefully it's Glad Kasha. Anyway, bottom line is, so therefore he doesn't get the reprieve or the benefit of 2-3 weeks, because he's an established Soich already from the outset, because he put up signs and he has a store. Good.
So what does the Mishnah say that would be our shopping?
That would be in the first 2-3 weeks. But not after that. Initially. It's only very brief interval. Omer of Chizda, at least according to Rav Nachman. Maybe others disagree. According to Rav Nachman, you only get that freebie for the first couple of weeks. And of course, not. He's not quoting himself. He's quoting Rav Bacha Bar Chanina, Medroim, Rav Shir Ben Levi, Zikni Dorim, etc. Omer of Chizda, Hai Kahana Dolei Mafish Matanta Lehevi Bishamta Lekei Yisrael. If you are not a koyin, who's a tabach, who's selling. In fact, there's another gear, so now we take out kahana, but you put in haitavcha. It's not davka koyin. Any person who is in the business of shechting and selling the meat, he has to make sure the matonis gets to the koyin. If not, I'm going to put him into a shamta. Shamta means a cherem to the kei Yisrael in the name of God, meaning that he's doing is a bad thing. Amr Rabba Shila, this is what Rav Chizda said. So Rabbi Rav Shila said to him, Hani tavchi de hutzel, the tabachim, all the butchers in Hutzel, unfortunately, are not following the din, and they are not giving matanis. So all of them are kaimi b'shamta Rav Chizda ha'esem
v'dar d'shnei. This is Kutzlaritz. We said it's not.
That's later on. We didn't get to Rav Levi yet. That's going to be enriched, I guess.
Tomorrow, Mietz Hashem, you'll be able to point that out. Not tomorrow. So on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav, no?
Yes, it's in next parak. It's in Rishis, I guess.
On Daf Kuf Lamed Vav, Omid Beis. Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, in the Noig Alma Kahani Tlas Sabi, Kirbuloi Bereshis, I guess. And as Barry reminds us, and Rashi says, Bereishis Hages, including Matanois, what did Rabloi say? Bereishis Hages, in Noig Ele Ba'aretz, and not in Chutzlatz. However, we haven't gotten there yet. And remember, our first mission, our Mesechta, and our Meshach, and our Perek said, Azrei L'chaim HaKeba Nehagin Ba'aretz, all B'chutz La'aretz. So therefore, the assumption is, until we get to Rabbi Eloi, that in fact, you do have to give even in Chutzlatz. Good. So those Tafkid Chutzl is the name of a place. They were not Makbid. They are now, therefore, in this Shamta, in this Chaim of Rav Chisda for the last 22 years. Now, the Gemara wants to know, I mean, it sounds very dramatic. 22 years. But my Hilcha, so why is he telling us, besides the drama and the dramatic effect? Is he trying to tell us that there's no purpose in putting yet another Chaim and another Chaim, because they've already been in Chaim for 22 years and that has not helped? No purpose for the Bezin to say, let's put a new Chaim on them, so you just add another piece of paper. I mean, it's already... Is that what you're telling you? The Suma Shemtinu V'Hotanya didn't we have in the Brisa? But when we're in Mitzvahs Loisasa, Al Mitzvahs Aseikin Goyin Oimrim Loi Asei Sukkah Veini Oisa Lula Veini Oisa Asei Tzitzah Veini Oisa Makan Oisa Ashtetzei Nafshoy. What does that mean? If a person is being over a Loisasa, then when do you say that there's no purpose in just adding another Shamta? He is in Loisasa anyway. But it goes beyond that. Rashi says, if he's not listening to the Shamta, presumably, if he's being over a loisesa, and he's doing it multiple times, presumably there have been Edom, and they've given Hasra, and what are we going to do? We're going to give the guy Malkus. Says Rashi, we don't have to go and give Malkus multiple times, because he's over in various Isurim that have Misa B'dei Shemoyim or Kores, and therefore he'll be a din of Kom Le B'drava Mine. In such a case of Kom Le, this obviously goes according to the Mandiyama that holds that Kom the Rabine applies not only by Mises Bezdin, but even by Mises and Kores B'dei Shemoyim. There is such a thing. It's Machlokes, I think it's Tanur Rebbe Yecheskel, I think, that says that the din applies even in a case of Kores, or Mises B'dei Shemoyim. Anyway, so back to our Gemara. So that's when you're talking about Loisesses. But here we're talking about Naseh, that this person refuses to make a sukkah, refuses to go and shokalul v'netz, refuses to go and put on tzitzis on a dalet kantis. Then, not only would we go to multiple shamtas, but we're going to do even worse. Makan oisim et geim makas mardis achetetze nafshoi until chas shalom, he passes away. So therefore, I'm not concerned about adding on additional petch, so I'm not concerned about adding on additional shamtas. So what is he trying to tell us? He's already mishamt for 22 years. Or the tabachim in Hutzel. Ella the kantzina leho beloi asraisa. What he's telling us is, because of the fact that they're ready, unfortunately, rogil in not giving the matanois, the bezin no longer has to worry about putting a new shamta, but rather we can go and put a knas on him. What is the knas? We put a knas below asraisa without giving an asra. In other words, we don't have to go to all of the tabachim and hutzel and say, chevra, you better start giving the matanois, otherwise you're going to go and get makas mardis. No, we're going to give a knas, even if there's no hasra and no eidim, because we've been doing it for all these years. Now, what type of knas? Ki hadarova konis atma. Atma is a very large part of the animal. Rashi says the yerech, the thigh bone, together with all of the meat on the animal. So you didn't want to give the Zrei L'chaim V'Keva, which are, relatively speaking, kleine chitin, small matonis. You're going to have to give over a large, large piece of the animal. That's konis. That's the enforcement. Yeah? Sorry.
How do they enforce it?
If you didn't
want to give the first matanas, why would you want to give the second?
The same marshals that give the makis mardis, those same marshals.
Why can't you force them to give the matanas? That's Bill's question, right? If you can force them to give the thigh bone and the thigh meat, and you can give them makis mardis, then force them to do the kleinikite of Zerucham Bekeva.
Okay, what about the guy with the sukkah and luluf? How are you going to go force them?
That's a mitzvah on the person. This is a mamon. You can seize it. You can seize it from them and say, this belongs to a kohen, you're holding it illegally. No. You can seize it. In the case of you can't.
Sukkah, you can't force him to make the sukkah.
Or he could charge him. because and give him more. It's a, make it a fee more.
A penalty.
Fee more. Okay. Fee more. Fee, fee more.
So
fee
those more. Questions are a question. If you can give them Max Smartis and you can.
I understand. I don't know why. You're making a good point.
Or very simple. So take away the Ashkacha.
Yeah.
That's the best way of doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, he was Konas Atmer of Nachman Yitzchak Konas Glima. Glima means he took away his coat or his beged, and that was the Kanas that they put on these guys. V'yom Rav Chisda, Zroya li Echad, V'keva li Echad, L'chayayim li Shnayim. What the Gemara is saying is that you could, if you wanted to, split up the matanis. You don't have to give all the matanis to one Kohen. You can go and give it essentially to four Kohanim. Zroya is one, L'chayayim is to two, L'chayayim are two jaws, give one jaw, one jaw, and the keva to another. It's four. Mashma, then that's the maximum. Four. Ah, if Regimah anybody also Yitzhak Yosef, Ammarova, Pogina Lahu, Garma, Garma. They give bone after bone after bone. In other words, there's so many bones inside the animal. In fact, probably Ramachi Vorim or something similar. So they would go and give maybe to Ramach Kehanim. They split it up into many, many, many little portions, not just to four Kehanim. And for the Mohasim B'Torah, that they were talking about a shor. Shor is a huge animal. So then you can go and split it up, Taka, give this one. That's the hind leg, the fore leg, this one, that one. However, if you're talking about a case of the exactly, there's so little over there. The maximum is four. You can't go
in. It's a foreshvice. It's not a meal.
Exactly, an appetizer. Good. Also, lechem mibehimish loyhorma matanisel. You're not allowed to go and eat from the rest of the flesh if you didn't give the matanis. In fact, the Gemara says. Again, the same man, the Yomar,
yes.
Like eating tevel.
Yes.
And therefore, just like you're not allowed to eat from nutvua until you've been mafresh, your trumis and your maiseris, here too, you can't eat from the behemoth flesh until you've raised from it, and you put it aside to go and give to the kohen. So the kohen, these two are saying the same thing. Questionable, what is the second Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan adding to the first Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan? Both of them say you cannot eat from the baby. Exactly. Okay, Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan makes it a little bit more dramatic. He says, like eating tevel. But of the Maisa, what does it mean like eating tevel? He doesn't get Misa B'dei Shemayim. It just means that. Exactly. So in fact, there's another Girsa that the second Rabbi Chanan is another man, the Amar. You see in the Dalit. Another gear said that this is a different man the Yomar, not the same Rabbi Chanan. Another Talmud named Rabbi Yochanan said it a little bit differently. But let's look at what's the Maisa. That's not the halacha. Even if you didn't give the matanis, you're allowed to go and eat the flesh. No problem. Otherwise, today we wouldn't be able to eat the flesh because we don't give matanis. If you want to go and eat the matlis kahuna, these ones in particular, Rabbi Chanan Akeva. You have to go make sure that you roast it nicely. Don't just boil it. And you have to go and add with chardel, add a little bit of mustard. My time was the reason. Because it says, it doesn't say it here in this parasha of Gabi, but in parasha's Koirach, where it lists all of the various matlis kuna, 24 altogether. It says over there, what does that moshcha mean? It means legedula, meaning eat it in a royal fashion. What's a royal fashion? You don't go and serve boiled meat. You go and serve a roasted meat, a nicely boiled and roasted with all types of stuff and condiments. Yeah, exactly. And add to it a little bit of mustard and this and that. Kedesh HaMolochim, Oichlim. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisait. We continue in Mechim tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.